So we've been in the season of Lent, we've been embracing this idea, this truth, this core part of community of bearing one another's burdens. This is our sixth week on this series, and we've just been really leaning into it. And today, as we look at Palm Sunday, I was thinking about today. I was thinking, we sang about it already, but this idea of what happens on this day. And I have to tell you, this day always captures my imagination. It's always when I just want to think about what must have been like to be there. Because there are so many events in the Gospels where we're like, not sure exactly what happened here and what happened next as far as time periods. But this week, this day, it launches us into Holy Week. And it's such a big launch. And everything is going to change. So I hope that maybe as we think about today, you'll just join me a little bit with your imagination. Because a lot happens today, but it's going to be why everything will change. And I got to say, this big outward event always feels kind of ironic to me. And we'll get there. But I hope you like to imagine what it must have felt to be there in Jerusalem that morning. So I thought about the narrow streets, and they're just full of people. This is an ancient city. The streets aren't big, but they're crowded. And people are holding palm branches high in the air. In fact, there's probably so many green fronds that there is a sea of green against these old stone buildings. And the dusty road, it's lined with people in colorful robes. And some of them have even taken their cloaks off and placed them on the ground out of reverence. And then Jesus appears. He's riding on a donkey, very humbly. And I even imagine his face, resolute but probably peaceful. And then the disciples are following so closely behind him, probably a little confused, maybe a little bit in awe. I can imagine they're thinking, finally, here's the parade he's worthy of. Here's what we needed. Here's what we've been waiting for. The crowds, all of this stuff has happened. This is the entrance he should be having everywhere he goes, finally. And, of course, the air is just full of jubilant shouts. People are saying, Hosanna! I imagine their voices coming together. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And these voices will be joining into unison. And then there's this chorus of praise that is coming through the streets as this man rides in on a donkey. The atmosphere is electric. It's full of excitement. It's full of joy. It's full of hope. And the energy, you could probably just feel it. The palms are being waved with enthusiasm. The hearts are full of anticipation. There's a sense of unity among this crowd because they're all here in this moment for this one singular historic event. The mood is also one of reverence, probably, and some celebration, but there's definitely got to be anticipation. What does this mean? Where are we going from here? And amid this scene, Jesus knows. While everyone is celebrating and there's loud, grand gestures happening, he knows that in this same city, who is celebrating him right in this moment, by the end of the week, they're calling for his execution. Jesus knew his time was limited, and he had spent 3 years with these disciples, and in those years, he spent those years preparing them because he knew it was coming. And some of the things he was preparing them for was how to love one another, how to be community, how to experience his presence, even when he wasn't going to physically be with them anymore. In this series, I think we've spent a lot of time on that idea of what does it look like to bear one another's burdens? And I've loved leaning into this. I've loved seeing how we can be sustained by this, how it's how we are supposed to live. And in many ways, I have to say these last five sermons have felt really affirming to me as a community. And I mean, we are not perfect, right? We have lots of areas that we continue to grow in, even in this area. But I really think that Emmaus Church community is very healthy in the ways that you serve one another. It's a powerful witness to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our community. And every single week, I have the privilege of seeing people choose to serve one another. Every single week, I see a story where someone is stepping up to help with another's burden. Sometimes I see it almost daily. But today, I want to change things up a bit. I want to flip things around in this series, and I want to push in and perhaps allow us to wrestle with another piece of this teaching. Many of us do a great job bearing each other's burdens. It's beautiful to see. But many of us do not do a great job allowing our burdens to be carried. It's hard. We struggle with that. So today, it's my hope that as you listen, you might consider what this would look like in your own life and in your own soul when you choose to share your burdens with others. I think of that at First Palm Sunday, knowing that everything is going to change for these followers of Jesus in 30 AD. In this week ahead, Jesus is going to be betrayed. He will suffer. He will be crucified on the cross. And while his mission is always to give his life so that ours would be saved, his mission is always to bring us back in relationship with God, he also did things like prepare his disciples for what it was going to be after he was not physically with them. So with this in mind, I want to share three very brief snapshots of Jesus and the gospel. So we're going to back up right away. We're going to go look at Luke 9, 1 to 4, just four verses right away. And these verses show us Jesus as he is mentoring these 12 young men and allowing them to embrace what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. I'm going to read it to you. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. So this point for these 12 young men, this is a rubber meets the road moment. They're given power. They're given authority directly from Jesus. They're casting out demons. They're curing the sick. They're proclaiming his gospel. And this is like they're sent out. This is like we're going to take the training wheels off and we're going to do this. But I have to say what strikes me about this passage, about these men who are mentored by Jesus, who he's equipping supernaturally, is that when they're sent out, they're told to take nothing. Jesus, who has all the power to provide, and yet he purposefully tells them to take nothing with them. And I thought about that. And he shows us the plan is that others are going to need to provide for them. The people they're going to encounter are going to provide things like food, a place to sleep, a clean shirt. All of these things, they're going to have to rely on others to do this. And I thought about us today. How uncomfortable would we feel if today that was your job? You're going to go out. You're going to receive. You're going to have to depend on someone to feed you, to house you. You're not even going to get a clean shirt or even a staff unless somebody gives it to you. And I don't know about you, but that would be hard. In fact, I think a lot of us might think we're weak. We might think we're failing if we had to have someone else pay for our meal, or if we had to have someone else provide a place for me to sleep or a clean shirt simply because I don't have it. And while we live in a culture that might tell us that being the recipient of someone's provision can be deemed as a weakness, it's so clear in this passage that these 12 men were not weak. They had power, they had authority. As they were proclaiming the kingdom, performing miracles in the name of Jesus, that is not weakness. In fact, Jesus says, take nothing. And it's not because he doesn't care about their needs. It's not because he doesn't care about what they're eating or where they're sleeping. It's not because he doesn't care about these practical pieces of their lives. It's not because Jesus can't provide for them. It's about how Jesus wants to provide for them. The how in this situation is something that I hope you can pay attention to today. He sends them out in this manner so that they will depend on him. They will experience the provision of God
And God is going to provide for them through others. God meets their needs through other people. God wants to meet our needs through other people. These instructions seem radical, but these disciples are learning how to depend on God, and God is teaching them he can be trusted through the hospitality of others, because this is how God wants them to live. Sometimes I think I have a good grasp of what good community is or how God desires community to be. And I got to tell you, then I read a passage like this and I realize that it's deeper and it's bigger and it's more intense than I ever even knew before. We depend on God, and God allows us to meet the needs of others, but then at the same time, he allows others to meet our needs. This is not just a good option. It's not just a good alternative. It's actually how it's meant to be. You see, it's not just me who's created in the image of God. And it's not just you who's created in the image of God, but we, all of us, we are created in the image of God. This beautiful image of God. We have the God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, showing love through giving and receiving. We were actually created for this. We were actually created to give and to receive. It's our design. The image of God is modeled through the Trinity. This idea is illustrated here through the work of an artist named Scott Erickson. This representation of the Trinity highlights the relational and the participatory beauty of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The love that flows from the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit is this foundation for living. Their cups are being continually filled up as they fill into one another. There is this beautiful dependence on one another that we see in this art. The Trinity is the image of community. The Trinity is how we know how to love one another. It's how we're designed to live with one another, serving and being served, giving and receiving, being with one another. You're not invited to only serve. You're not invited to only give. Friends, all of this is vital. Allowing our needs to be met, allowing our burdens to be carried through the obedience of others, this is how Jesus wants us to live. And I want to say it's not just in the crises moments, but sharing burdens and allowing burdens to be carried by others is what the community of Christ needs to be doing daily. Bearing one another's burdens should be mutual, and it should be the rhythm of our lives. Okay, I have another snapshot for you. This one is now, we are in Holy Week. It's Thursday night. We're going to find this in Matthew 26, 36 to 38. It's Thursday night. Jesus has had dinner. He knows he's going to be arrested. He knows what's happening. But that very night, he goes to the garden called Gethsemane, and he goes there to pray. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Jesus is asking those closest to him to be with him. He shares with them that his soul is overwhelmed. He shares with them that he has sorrow to the point of death. Jesus is exposing his burden to these people. John Wesley, in his commentary, wrote, "This plea reflects Jesus' human need for solidarity in the face of impending suffering." He says, "Stay here and keep watch with me." He's expressing his own desire for companionship and for support. And this is Jesus, maybe in this moment, not as their teacher, but as a suffering man needing the nearness of his friends. He wants their presence. They're invited to help bear this burden. And the truth is, they don't really exactly know what this burden means exactly. They don't understand the weight he is carrying. But it's still important to note that he asked them to share the burden anyway. Even if they don't completely understand it, he's asking them to share it. And often people will say, I just can't share that burden because nobody would understand. I've said that. No one will understand, so I don't want to share it. And the truth is, a lot of times, people won't fully understand your burden. But that does not mean you should not invite them in to share it. They don't have to have a similar story. They don't have to have the perfect advice. Jesus is just asking for their presence and for their prayers. In addition to that, people may not even do the best job carrying your burden. If we were to continue to read this passage in Matthew, we're going to see that these same disciples fall asleep on Jesus. But he still asks them. He still wants them with him. And as we carry heavy things, even though those around us may not understand the circumstances or even really know how heavy that burden is, it doesn't excuse us. It doesn't give us a reason not to ask them to help us carry them. Will they do it perfectly? Nope. But if we choose to trust Jesus, his provision continues to come through people. And Jesus does not ask all his disciples to go with him. I don't know if you picked up on that too. Jesus asks his three closest companions to be with him. You don't need to share your burden with everyone. In fact, that would probably be unhealthy. But God does ask us to share it with someone. Allow someone else to bear your burden with you. God allows me a lot of time to just be with people. I hear their stories. And because of this, I've noticed a little bit of a pattern. A lot of people don't want to ask for prayer or even share what's happening in their lives until they're desperate. There could be a lot of reasons for this, but many times I see them wait. They wait until the bad diagnosis is confirmed. They wait until they feel like their family is beyond repair. They wait until the addiction can no longer be hidden. They wait until the marriage is over. And when they finally share it, all I can think about is how long they've been alone with it. I think about how heavy this burden has been for them as they carried it alone. I wonder how isolated they felt. I also think we could have been with them. We could have been praying for them. We could have been carrying this burden alongside them in all of it. We need to allow others to bear our burdens through their prayers and through their presence. I have one more snapshot. This one's an image that I hope you'll take into this week. It's one that I hope you'll hold on to as we think of this idea of allowing others to bear our burdens. It's in Luke 23:26. This one happens on Holy Week. It's now Friday. Jesus has been mocked, beaten. He's injured and exhausted. He's actually being marched to his own death, trying to carry this heavy cross. And he is so weak that he is physically struggling. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country. And they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. So the soldiers come across this man who's traveling from West Africa, and they command him to carry the cross. And this week I gave myself a moment to think, what would that look like if Jesus said, I'm good? What if in his need he fought to accept someone lifting this burden from him? And the state he was in, that almost sounds ridiculous. He's exhausted. He's in so much pain. Why wouldn't he let someone carry the cross? Why would he turn away help? But of course, Jesus does let Simon carry the cross. But then I remember, and I think back in my own life, and there's times when I did not let people carry my cross. I think back to times when I did not even want people to know I was struggling. And I had to think about these questions this week. Why did I not allow people to help me? I've been exhausted. I've been in pain. But there were times when I did not share my burdens. And I tried to carry things that were just too heavy for me alone. And the truth is, the healing that I needed to happen did not happen until I let others in, until I let others come alongside me in my burdens. Jesus is moving toward his mission, and this man happens to cross his path, and this man named Simon becomes part of the story. Simon becomes a burden bearer, and in many ways, he becomes a symbol for us today. He took up the cross of Jesus, sharing in the suffering of Jesus, and he demonstrates solidarity to him. The image of this man walking behind Jesus really echoes what Jesus says in Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. He's a symbol of sharing in the suffering of Christ, and we are invited to share in that suffering, but we should also be allowing others to share in that suffering as they come alongside of us and embrace this symbol of Simon and Cyrene who carries the cross. There's an early church scholar, his name's Origen, and he sees Simon's presence as a reminder of provision. When Jesus is too tired to carry the cross, Simon appears. He's not even from Jerusalem, he's from North Africa, but he's this symbol of provision. He's a symbol of how God can use the people God puts in our lives. God provides strength to us through those he puts in our path. And he's also a symbol of how God transforms the ordinary into the sacred. Simon's just passing by. And this chance encounter becomes something sacred because of the way that God uses him. Because God uses ordinary, imperfect people. He transforms the inadequate and the flawed to be part of the solution, part of his provision for us. And in some mysterious way, he allows others to come alongside us and to enable us to move towards God's mission, to keep walking, to experience God's care. This is why we need to depend on God to meet our needs and be open to the means that he chooses for us. We have to allow others to share our burdens. And Jesus allowed it for himself. He shared his burdens with the flawed and these imperfect people along his own journey. Bearing others' burdens and allowing others to know your burdens is not the plan B. This is God's design for community. God is going to meet our needs through one another. So as we kind of grapple with this, some of you might be better than this than I am, but I was thinking of ways that I have put this into practice in my own life. Because some of the healthiest people I know are not the people with no burdens. I don't think those exist, but they're not the people with no burdens, but they're the ones who are choosing to share their burdens. So one way I thought it was allow yourself to be known. You must be in ongoing relationships with people you trust and who know you. This requires being transparent and real. Number two, share regularly. I urge you not to wait until things escalate. Make sharing burdens, the big and the small, a rhythm of your life. I think this is one of the reasons I love home groups so much. You know, I'm in my home group, and I know that they know what's going into my life. I know that they're going to circle back the next time we meet and check in on that need. So it creates this rhythm of sharing things regularly. Pay attention to who God may be putting in your path. Simon had the strength to carry that cross. And there may be people who come along your path who are equipped to help you bear that burden. They don't have to have that similar story, but God can empower them to walk with you on that journey. So pay attention to this. And the last one is, know your value to God. Ask God to show you and remind you of your value to him. Your burdens matter. I think it's easy for us to put ourselves way at the bottom of the list, but I think as we engage in Scripture, as we read the truth, we'll see that message that God wants us to know. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Allowing our burdens to be shared is knowing that we are worthy of love from God and from others. As you go into this week, I'm hoping you will choose to depend on God's provision and know that those who bear our burdens are part of God's provision. Let's pray. God, we need you. We need your presence. And God, we need you to teach us again and again how to depend on you. God, remind us that submitting to your will and your ways is submitting to the how. This week, allow us to receive from others as an act of surrender to you. Amen.